Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. My friends, I just got back from the Expo, and I'll tell you, every single year when I go there, I'm enlightened again. I'm motivated again. I'm stimulated again. It's just unbelievable to see thousands of people gather around together and share their ideas and their systems and their knowledge and educate each other, classes and great talks, unbelievable talks. But the networking and just seeing old friends again is just an incredible concept. I really enjoy it. It always tires me out, four days straight of talking, doing nothing but from morning, noon, night, talk. But it really is great. The thing that caught my attention as I was driving back from San Antonio, the thing that was just clearly on my mind was how many people came up to me and their goal was to tell me that they had what is called in our group real estate retired. And it's interesting because I didn't make this term up. Somebody else in our group made this term up a long time ago. And the concept is in real estate retired is that I have enough passive income coming in from my real estate that if I wanted to retire, I could retire. Now, in many cases, people do want to retire. And you'll have people come up to you and say, okay, we're working on this system. We're going to put together enough projects. Well, it could be single-family houses, could be small apartments, could be passive investments, different deals they get into. It could be one large apartment, whatever it is. They're working on enough investments to be able to retire the first spouse, keeping the second spouse in place to earn an income that's guaranteed, right? Although if you do the real estate investing correctly, it should be fairly guaranteed. But to have that second income that they know is there and they know they can get to, and also to pay for their insurance and so forth. So it works out really well for them. And then they know, okay, now we've got one person retired, and that person is able to go out there and start us a personal family business. Whereas before they were working it solely as passes while they're both working, picking up rent houses is usually the easiest way. Maybe getting into passive deals with other lead investors is another easy way to do it while you're both working still. And they're building up that income, that passive income, until they get to the point where one can get free. Once one of them gets free, then the concept changes. Now, let's get the other one free. And it's interesting to see the dichotomy of the different families who tell me the exact same story. It just blows my mind. But there's always one of them that's a little bit of a skeptic and one of them that has a better job. And so it takes a while for the skeptic to get on board that one of them is going to not work anymore. Just you have to psychologically see as a skeptic, and I'm a skeptic. I'm a born skeptic. I'm trained skeptic, whatever there is to make you a skeptic, I'm a skeptic. But the reality is that as a skeptic, you're going, there's no way we can afford to give up our job when we're in our 30s, our 40s, our 50s, or maybe even our 60s. We need to keep working till we have a gigantic pile of money to fall back on, as opposed to having a gigantic amount of passive income to fall back on, which is a completely different concept. Most people out there believe, you know, if you've not been to Lifestyles, if you've not been around what we do, you believe that you just go out and you work hard and you save a lot of money and you put it in the stock market and hope the stock market goes up and continues to go up, which in general it does. I mean, it goes up and down, up and down, up and down. But in general, ever since I was a kid, it's higher now than it was then, and it is 10 years ago, higher now than it was 10 years ago. And in between, it's made people lose their sleep and go crazy, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs as it goes up and down, and creates nightmares for people that are at the edge of retirement, and all of a sudden it goes down while you're right thinking about retiring. All that instability is what the stock market kind of creates. But at the same token, over long periods of time, it kind of goes up. And so when you see that and you know that, and everybody, every financial planner you talk to tells you that, and every attorney and CPA and doctor and dentist and school teacher, they all think the same thing. It's really hard for you to come into a place where nobody in the group cares about what all those people think, because they see all those people working until they're 60 or 70 years old. And they don't want to do that. They want to retire when they're young enough to take their kids to school, to play with their kids, to travel with their kids while they're still kids, not grown adults, having their own kids and don't have the time to spend with them. Right? So as I talk to these people, it's interesting to see how they picked one person that would be the easiest to let go of their job, and which one would least hate leaving their job. Because some people, they really like their job, and they get all of their feelings of power and importance from a job. And I understand that. I mean, I get feelings of power and importance by being a teacher. You know, that's what I'm doing right now. I teach you guys. That's important to me. So I understand the concept. So you have to be able to find and believe that you can transfer those feelings from having a job and bragging at the bar or the restaurant or off with your friends and family, our company, you know, ABC America, is in the Fortune 500 best companies to work for, the Fortune 500 fastest growing companies, and we are this and we are that, and we did 2X and 10X and 5X. And all the time knowing that you really have no part of that in most cases, unless you have some ownership interest in it. You just simply are going to work, and one day they can call you and say, you know, we don't need you anymore. We can't use you. And the job's over. So the intense pride you take and put into that job is going to need to have a place to lay itself down to sleep. And owning some real estate, it's kind of one of those things that does that. When you can tell your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, your ex-boss, your ex-employee friends, hey, I'm retired. I have real estate. They go, what? How can you just quit your job at 40 years old? I own real estate. I mean, it's just such a beautiful answer to it all, isn't it? And so we talk about that first person getting retired, freeing up a human being in the family to now be able to do the things that you never had time to do in the family before. You know, I'm not just talking about, okay, now you can go take the kids to school every day. Now you can make breakfast for them every day. Now you can make sure there's dinner on the table. Now you can go places and do things and set up for baseball and soccer and ballet and all that stuff and music lessons. Not just all of that. But now you have free time during the day for your brain to expand. It's amazing what you think of when you let go of getting up and going to the grind every day and then figuring out what you can do that will make money. It's an interesting concept, right? What can you do to make money? And when you figure it out, go, you know, I can actually make money without needing to bow down to somebody as a job. That's a really strange, strange situation. Can I do it even? Do I have the intellectual capacity to be given the reins and go, okay, do whatever you want. If you want to work today, work. If you don't want to work today, don't work. How successful do you want to be? Do you want to own one house, 10 houses, 50 houses? Do you want to own one apartment, two apartments, three apartments more? What do you want? What is your goal in life? And that's a whole new stretch for people, a whole new stretch. And so And, you know, like I said, I've seen just five different ways people told me this weekend that they did it, starting with the first person. It always is like it's the first person in the family they have to get out. That's the hardest person. For one, it's the belief system. The belief that, okay, we should move some of our lifelong saved finances into something we've never done before in our life. That's a tough thing to do, no matter what. I know if you're sitting out there listening, you go, man, I don't know if I could do that. That's scary, whatever. So the bottom line is that they have to make that big leap. And, you know, generally there's one person in the family that's a little more aggressive than the other one, but the other one's more analytical. So what happens is the aggressive one pushes for the information and pushes to get you out there doing it. But the analytical one actually is the one that figures it out and goes, you know what? Analytically, this makes sense. This will work. And once you go out and buy that first one or two houses, I was speaking to a lady this weekend. She was either Indian or Nepali or something. The nationality is irrelevant, except that she was so excited to tell the story. And she had accumulated a mentor out of the group who had been motivating her along. But it was like she did 8 or 9 or 10 houses. I mean, it was like every time I talked to her, it was another house, another deal, another this, another that. And her husband was just standing there behind her like, yep, she did it all. Yep, she did it all. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing stuff. You don't think of it as amazing, but it is amazing stuff. Because you go out there and she did 8 houses in 1 year. And I think 2 or 3 more that she was looking at doing right now. But at least she had told the story she'd done 8 houses in 1 year. That's just mind-boggling. And I think what happens with these people is they go out and they get a couple under their belt, and they're starting to think, you know, I can do this. Not first of all, you got to go, it's real. You close the first one and go, I can't believe it, it's real. You actually can borrow the money to buy a house. You actually can get someone to pay rent. It's just mind-boggling. And so you own your first little business, one little rent house. But then you do the second one, and then the third one's really easy. And what happens is they generally get better. Because the first one, you're so conservative and you're so afraid that you move slowly and you end up taking, you know, whatever you get talked into. But after a while, you become like a hunter. You're hunting good deals. And then your deals get better. And you also get, because now you've got some, and you're not sitting there with the lack mentality. You're not sitting there thinking, oh, I'll never get one of these, which happens when you first start many times. Now that you know it works and you know people will give away their homes at a price that will allow you to make a lot of money with it, then you start getting aggressive and you start pushing hard for people to sell you their home at a lower price. You know, I'd love to buy that. I'd love to help you. I'd love to take that over and renovate it for you. But I'm not going to do it for that price. I need a better deal than that. It's going to cost me enough money to do this, and there's got to be a profit margin in it for me to do. And you just become confident that what you're doing is the right thing in this world. Taking destroyed houses from people that can't afford to fix them up, buying them, distressed properties, and renovating them and putting back on the market so that some family who would never have a clean and functional house to live in ever has a place to live. Because your tenants are people that could never afford to buy it, never afford to renovate it, and even if they did have the money, they wouldn't have the expertise or the skill set to do so, or maybe even the inclination. And so they'd end up staying in an apartment complex because it's easy. And that's why we have apartments. You just go up to the door. Hi, I'd like a place to rent. They go, there's one over there. They go, okay, fine, give me your money. Boom. They screen you. And if the screening comes out okay, then you move in. And boy, it's easy. That's why apartments work. But the houses are that easy for people because of investors like us who go through and fix these things. And that takes time, energy, skills. Of course, we teach you how to do it, but you still have to learn it. You still have to do it, right? But I'm telling you, after that third one, people get one of two things. Either real aggressive, you know, they want to get up to 10 just right away so they can retire. And it only takes about 10 houses to retire in most cases. I retired, I think, on 11 was what I hit my first retirement curve with. I ended up with 107 houses in totality, single family units. At the peak, I had 107 of them, but I retired at 11 of them. I was making enough cash flow in 11 houses that I could replace my earned income. Beautiful thing. So once you get free and you've got one of the family members free, then you start looking at stuff. And all the stuff you drove by every day and never took a look at, you go, I never realized there's 10,000 houses within 2 miles of my house. There's 100,000 houses within, 5 miles of my house. And the distressed number of them is very few, but I don't need but one. It's amazing how you can get into this thing and then just get hooked and want to do more and more and more and more. It's like working out, you know. The better shape you get in working out, the more you want to go work out. The worse shape you are, the harder it is to go. I just had to take off about 5 days before the expo to get ready. Then I was gone for 5 days for the expo. Coming back yesterday, 10 days out, doing one workout, was like, man, it's terrible to take off. And the same thing is true about making money. Once you start making money, man, you don't want to stop. And if you've never done it, it's hard to get started. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
About today's teaching? Want to know more? Attend a free workshop. Go to lifestylesunlimited.com. More life-changing principles in moments when the Del Wamsley Radio Show continues.
Thinking about real estate investing? Start with education from Lifestyles Unlimited, the group that's been teaching it for over 30 years. Text radio to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Radio to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we've been talking about the concept that came up over and over and over again at the expo in San Antonio last week, and that is being real estate retired. I mean, countless people came up to me and wanted to tell me their story about how they became real estate retired, which for those of you that don't know what that means, if you're just listening to the radio show for the first time or the first few times, it's where you have enough passive income coming in from your real estate investments to be able to replace your earned income. Now, many people don't replace their earned income immediately. That's not really even their goal. They just want to increase their income. However, obviously, I found that there is a large number of people at Lifestyles that truly would like to buy their life back from corporate America. So we were talking in the last segment how there's usually one spouse that's more aggressively interested in getting out of their job and buying their life back and taking care of the kids and the family and being able to do what they want when they want, whenever they want, work out if they want, take their kids to school if they want. And what happens is once they become financially free enough to free up one person from going to work every day, that person now has this mind-changing, altering situation where I remember it happened to me. I go, like, I have nothing to do but think. And all of a sudden, thousands of ideas came to me about, I could do this and I could do that and I could go over here and be this. I could go there and do this and travel. I could, I bet there's money to be made doing that. And it's amazing. And then if you have an idea of what to do, like once you buy some real estate, you go, I could probably buy a lot of this stuff. Who knows how much money I could make? How rich could I be? It's just this ability to take your brain back from corporate America, not just your body of getting up and going to work every day, but your brain of trying to think on how to make the boss happy every day, right? How do you make the boss happy every day? It's just a mind-boggling situation. Really? Think about it. It really is. And so, in my mind, you have to get that first person out there, right? Get them broke away free. And then the second person comes into play. And it's really interesting. Even if they were a skeptic, it starts to eat on them. They have to get up at 6, they have to get up at 5, get ready, get in the car, drive for an hour, go to work, drive home, get home at 5, 6 o'clock at night. Day in, day out, day in, day out. Only able to take vacations on the days that they can account for. You're taking vacations every day. 3, 4, 5 days in a row, you have free to do what you want to do. It starts to eat at them. And it doesn't matter how strong your marriage is. A good marriage, you know, is a great thing. But, man, when the spouse is living the life and you're not, it's an amazing thing. Now, I know that families in the old days, one spouse would go to work and work hard, typically the guy, and he'd kill himself at work to try to support the family with one income. And then the wife would stay home all day long with the screaming, yelling kids and the dogs and the cats and just, you know, clean the house and cook the food. But nowadays, that's not really the way families are set up anymore. Nowadays, in other than very few situations, by the way, our daughter's that way. She stays home all day long, takes care of the kids and the dogs, cleans the house, cooks food for the kids, plays with the kids, and then has a part-time job on the side. But most people, they have two full-time jobs and they never see their kids. Life is just from dawn to dusk every day. And when you free someone from that dawn to dusk struggle, which I'd call the life of quiet desperation, by the way, I had a lot of people bring up that term that listened to me on the radio for years and years and years ago. You know, I was that guy. I said, well, guy, the life of quiet desperation, just like you talk about. Every day, just going through it, trying to get through it, just wanting to get out the other side. I don't know how many people came up to me and said, I was that guy. I thought you were talking to me specifically. My life sucked. But now to see your spouse out of that, now it gets crazy. So now the two of you put together a goal. And you sit down and you start really thinking about it. You know what? If we're going to get rid of both jobs, we need to be on a budget. We need to know what it costs for us to live. We can't be flippant with our money anymore. We need to know exactly how much real estate we need, how much income we need. We need to know where we're going to get our insurance from. All of a sudden, you start thinking logically about finances and about business and about what you need to make it all work. It's at this point that people start thinking about changing which path they've chosen. In other words, some people started with single-family housing. That was easy enough to get one of us out with. But maybe we could very quickly go buy one apartment and get the second person out with one investment. And they start thinking that way. Others start thinking, you know, if we're both going to retire, we're going to want to travel. Maybe we should move from being involved active investors to more passive, being passive investors. And maybe we should just start investing with other people as a passive investor. Some people are thinking, we don't have enough money to retire the second person. So we need to go buy a large property that makes enough money, both in management fees and in profits, that we can retire the second person. And maybe it's going to take two of those. So now you decide to be a lead investor or a syndicator, as they call it out in the outside world. Those kinds of plans and designs happen. And once those plans and designs happen, the next thing people tell me is they dig into the information. All of a sudden, they're taking all the classes that fall into that category they'd never even thought about looking at before. I mean, it was there. Hey, it's cool. Maybe someday we'll do that. But right now, we got to, you know, hunker down and get these 10 houses so I can retire. But now all of a sudden, why don't we just do one apartment? You know, it took us 2 years to get 10 houses. We could do one apartment in 6 months and get the other person out. And people tell me these stories over and over and over again. It's just an amazing thing to be there. 4 days, hundreds of people telling me their stories. Thousands of people there, but hundreds of people coming up to me and telling me their stories. And it's from morning to night, we were doing something all the time. So people were in there. We were networking. When we weren't teaching, we were networking. It was just an amazing thing. Now, here's the sad part. And then there is the other side of the story. I don't know how many people I spoke to said that they found us through the radio and that they had listened to me for years and never done anything. Well, guys, you know I'm 70 years old. You can't listen to me for another 5 or 6 or 10. I might not be here. You need to figure this thing out now. And I'll give you everything I got, but when the Almighty says, hey, Dell, you need to take a break, come on up here and visit, I got to go. Now, I don't have any problems. I don't feel anything. I'm not, I have no health problems or anything. I don't even feel weak. I'm just telling you, it's just I could hit by a car tomorrow. I've always asked the question, have you listened to me for 6 weeks, 6 months, 6 years? How long? And people go, yeah, I listened to you for a long time. And then I finally get in. Now, what normally happens, I believe, is that there's some kind of a life-changing experience. You're hearing this stuff out the side of your ear going, yeah, 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 yeah. It's always sitting out there, right? It's always just sitting out there. And then one day, something happens. One of the spouses gets sick, loses their job. Now you need to pick up some extra income. Now one of you lose your job. One of you gets downsized. One of your incomes get reduced. You follow me? Something happens that is life-changing. People put this stuff off. They don't think about their financial situation when they're young and working hard and got the blinders on and pushing the rock and going round and round and round the little squirrel cage, living the life of quiet desperation. They can't get their head above the sand to see where they're going. Right? And it reminds me of a story that I read in a book one time about management and about life. And they were talking about this group of people that were trying to build this road through this forest. I guess it was like the down in South America through the jungle. And it was really dense and you really couldn't even see 10 feet in front of you. But there was this entire crew of people that were down there working. And, you know, you had the workers with saws sawing the trees down and chainsaw people chainsawing them down and other people cutting them up and loading them onto trucks and moving them out of the way. Just a massive amount of work going on. And not all of that did you have all the loggers, but then you had the people off to the side that were doing the grinding and taking all the leaves and the limbs and putting them in these grinders and grinding them up and throwing those into the back of trucks, and they were pulling them away. While all that was going on, there was another crew of guys that did nothing but sharpen chainsaw blades. They were there just take the old chainsaws, sharpen the blades, and give the guys new ones to keep them with sharp blades because you need to keep sharpening those blades. You know, if your blade isn't sharp, you can cut one tree in an hour. If your blade is sharp, you cut 10 trees in an hour. So, you know, it was very important to go ahead and get people out there sharpening those blades, which is, you know, part of the business. You got to keep sharpening the saw, guys. As we go through this all, you need to come and get more education. I'm always looking for things to learn and study and to get more education about business and sharpen that saw. And then you got the feeding people because, you know, you got these guys working long hours. And so you got people trying to cook healthy meals and spot them and so forth that, to where these people can eat and stay healthy and drink and eat and drink the right stuff. And then you got people that are management people that are managing. You know, how many people are working, how many people are resting because they want to keep working all the time. And so they have shifts and they have managers of each shift and the people are coming in. Your shift is over here eating and resting and going to the restroom and the other shift's out there, you know, grinding away. And you've got cutters and you've got droppers and you got pullers and you got guys driving trucks and you got all this is going on. It's crazy, right? And then you've got leadership. And one guy climbs up to the tallest tree in the forest and looks down at all of this work going on. And he gets out his megaphone. He said, guys, you're going the wrong direction. Folks, have you ever got up in the morning or went to bed at night and go, I am pushing this rock up the wrong hill. I am running in this squirrel cage my whole life and getting nowhere. I am living a big, bad life of quiet desperation. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt like once for whatever it was, maybe a vacation, maybe that's what got you the time away, maybe somebody got sick, maybe you got sick, and either you're in your sick bed or you're sitting next to your spouse in the sick bed, and it just gave you 5 seconds to think and go, we're going the wrong direction. We're grinding and grinding and grinding and going the wrong direction. We're not doing what we were put on this earth to do. We're not living like we were put on this earth to live. We're not loving. We're not sharing our time with our family. We're not working out. We're not healthy. Simply because we don't even take the time to be healthy. We don't even take the time to eat the right food, let alone exercise, let alone stimulate our brains with new education. We're not doing the right thing. We're going the wrong way. We're living a massive life of quiet desperation. And sometimes you just have to stop. You just have to stop and climb that big tree. I hope you do it not in 6 months or 6 years this time. I'd like to see you do it this week. Call in. Set up an appointment. Come see us. Let me talk to you. Send me an email. Hey, my email is askdell, that's A-S-K, at L-U-I-N-C.com. Just send me an email. Askdell, D-E-L, that's like Del Taco, D-E-L. Askdell at L-U-I-N-C.com. Send me an email, right? Ask me a question. Tell me about your life. Let me see if we can stimulate you. Let's see if we can create a vision out in front of you that would give you the light to charge after. I'm not going to beat you up and push you into doing anything. That's not my style. I don't believe in that kind of push motivation. I believe in stimulation. I believe in inspiration. I want to inspire you to be the best you can be. So send me an email, askdell at luinc.com. Then we can talk about your situation. All of you, do it. It'd be nothing else. It'd be fun to bring some of these on. And by the way, if you send me an email, I won't use your name. I won't tell people who you are. If you're afraid of that, don't even put it on there. But the bottom line is, I work with people personally. I've been doing it for 35 years. I respect your integrity. Now, I might tell your story. And I might even change some of your story slightly, so I'm not telling what city and state and where you live or something, because I don't want people, if I'm sharing a tough story, to have their friends and relatives be able to pick it out of the blue. But man, hey, send me a question. Let's find out where you're at. Right? The rest of you out there, remember this, as we go through this every day, it's not about some money. It's about a lifestyle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.